Christ that we constantly emphasize studying the Bible. Many people wonder why they should bother. Here's the way some people think. Number one, the Bible is too difficult to understand. Number two, only those going into the ministry really need to understand the Bible in order to teach it to others. It was not intended for the average person, some say. Then number three, somebody who is knowledgeable can boil down what the Bible says and just tell me what I need to know. Well, those are some of the ways that people think. The one passage we had for the scripture reading this morning dispels all three of these errors. First, Paul said that when the Ephesian brethren read what he had written, they would understand what he understood. This is simply a means of communication. One person talks to another, maybe explains what he means, maybe uses an illustration, but speaks words whereby, or writes words whereby, other people will be able to achieve and have the same understanding they do. The Bible can be understood by the average person. Paul was not addressing elite scholars in Ephesians. He was talking to brethren, the average member of the church. And so God intended it for all and to be understood. Second, nobody needs to enter the field of preaching in order to understand and explain the Word of God. Those who obtain PhDs in religion, THDs, doctors of theology, those who populate seminaries may perpetuate the myth that only they can understand the Bible, but the New Testament does not teach that. What would be the point of preaching and teaching if the Bible could not be understood? Some other verses... Is it on? Oh, it is? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we got some catching up to do then. Let's see. Okay, that was the second one. Here's the third one. We've already covered all of that. And Paul told the brethren they could understand what they were reading. We covered that. Here we go. Many men of this congregation offer up invitations on Wednesdays and are able to impart truths that they have learned to the rest of us. You do not have to have studied years and years in order to read, understand the Bible, and explain it to other people. Although teaching should be regarded as a serious matter, and time taken and spent diligently to make sure that the message is correct, although it is not a frivolous matter, any Christian can do it. Third, the Bible cannot be summarized by sound bites. This is an answer to somebody who says, well, just boil it down and tell me what I need to know. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, tells us that those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not those who are casual and half-hearted and say, oh, boil it down, because I don't want to put forth any effort to understand it. No, there is effort that needs to be put forth in order to understand the Word. God expects us to be diligent. And we are standing in danger if we do not take to heart 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which says to prove or test all things and hold fast that which is good. Or 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we must look at it for ourselves and not just take somebody's word for it. There are many things that are being presented as Christianity that simply are not there in the scriptures. So, having shown that these three objections basically have no merit, we'd like to begin to answer the question, why should I study the Bible? Why should I study the Bible? The first thing we're going to do is because it claims to be the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. That's why we need to study it. And it claims that it should be. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But even though it claims that, and that is significant, that alone would not prove the case. However, it is a place to start. Second, it is historically accurate. All of the places, all of the people, the places where people traveled, where they went, these are all verified. There may be still one or two things that somebody has not come up, but, you know, there used to be hundreds, but through the study of archaeology, we have unearthed cities that were thought not to exist by scholars, and so on. So it is historically correct, but we would expect it to be. We would expect that out of the Bible. Third, it is scientifically accurate. Now, we might not expect that. But it is scientifically accurate in everything that it deals with of a scientific nature. How else could we read that the earth was a circle, a sphere, at a time when various mythologies had other explanations? And man would not prove that the earth is a sphere for a couple thousand to 3,000 years after it was written about in the scriptures. You know, some believe the various mythologies that the earth was hatched out of a giant flying egg, or that it stood on pillars on the back of a giant turtle. There are all kinds of strange explanations. And many, even in the time of Columbus, believed the earth was flat. But the Bible had it right. Thousands of years before mankind would know that. Sure, we can look at pictures from space and see the shape of the earth. But how did somebody who was unfamiliar with space travel or having cameras of that kind or any means to even achieve such a thing, how would they know that all of that was correct? How would a basically landlocked nation know about ocean currents, the paths of the sea? How would we have guessed about the number of stars being like the sand of the seashore when prior to the invention of the telescope we could barely catalog 1,000? And now we know that there are millions and millions and millions of stars, and that they are indeed like the sand of the seashore. Is there some other ancient book that contains truths like these? Have you ever heard of one? Do you know of one? Has anybody ever mentioned one? This is the only book containing truths like this that man took thousands of years to discover. But fourth, prophecies made hundreds of years in advance were fulfilled, not the least of which was the birth of Christ in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, made 700 years before Jesus was born. And not only was the Messiah prophesied, the one who prepared his way was prophesied. Both John and Jesus are foretold. Fifth, Because the Bible harmonizes so well that although words were recorded by various men over 1,600 years, it is clear that there is only one author, and that would be the Holy Spirit. Sixth, we believe the Bible is the Word of God because morality is much higher than man would invent. Man rejects today the condemnations of immorality, including fornication. It's estimated that probably 70% of young people live together without marriage prior to being married, if they get married. That's fornication. Man would not have condemned that if he had written the Bible, or adultery, or homosexuality, or drunkenness, or any one of another of other sins, because people like to commit these things. And so if it were written by man, it would not be in there as something that should be avoided or something that could be condemned. Seventh, the presentation of God is accurate and like no other in any religion. If you've read mythologies, you know how their gods are described. They're petulant, they're angry, they're jealous, they're lustful. In fact, they're just kind of like human beings, only with better powers. They're not like the immutable God. They're not like one who possesses all power and demonstrates morality and things of that nature. Furthermore, we know that we will have to give an account to this God who knows all things about us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Men do not usually desire to be accountable for what they do. Well, we could go on and on about these various characteristics of God and some of these other subjects, but we're just getting a very brief sampling of these. Now, what's another reason for studying the Bible? Because the Bible contains all the truth that we need to get from here to heaven. Jesus proclaimed this fact in John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth has always been available. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, Solomon wrote, buy the truth and do not sell it. Now, we know that it is entirely revealed because we know what Jude says, that he was giving diligence to write to them of the common salvation, but found it necessary that he should write that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And so it has been entirely revealed. It makes the Bible makes no foolish statement, such as Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, did when he wrote that the men who live on the moon are green and about 6 feet tall. And yet he says, that is a holy book? I don't think so. The Bible makes no such frivolous and silly statements as that. The problem that many people have is not that the truth is unavailable, it's that they don't want to spend the time to learn what the truth is. They don't want to hear it. That's why we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 that God will turn them over to delusions, strong delusions, because they have no love of the truth. Well, let's go to the next one. Why should I study the Bible? Because the Bible answers every important question about life. For example, why is there death? We know it is. We know it exists. But why does it exist? Why is there suffering? We deal with that in the book of Job, among other places. What will ultimately happen to man? What happens to us when we die? What will happen to the earth? These are all questions that people frequently have and frequently ask. And there is an answer to these things in the scriptures. The Bible shows us how to be pleasing unto God. And since he is our creator and has all power, is it possible to please him? Yes, it is. Consider Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, that he is the author, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so these are things that we can't get anywhere else. You can go into a bookstore and pick up some of these psychology books and stuff like that, but you won't get adequate answers to any of these questions, and certainly not how to please God. We shall be judged by the scriptures. This is the last reason we want to look at, and actually, that brings us back to where we left off last week in John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This is one reason you do not want to take somebody else's word for what the Bible says. Don't tell somebody, just boil that down for me. Just tell me a few things I need to know. No, it doesn't work that way. You're going to be judged by the words of Jesus. Not one sentence of Jesus, not one paragraph of Jesus, but by what Jesus said and taught. You're not going to be judged by what I say. You're not going to be judged by what anyone who claims to be a religious Christian figure is going to say, from Joel Osteen to the Pope. It doesn't matter what any of them say. What matters is what Jesus said. What matters is what Jesus taught. We'll be judged by what is in the book. Now, sometimes people come up with excuses for not studying. For example, I'm too old to learn. Are you too old to hear the latest news and pass it on to other people? I see people doing that all the time. They can tell you what's happening, where it's happening, why it's happening, who's involved, and particularly if there's a celebrity involved. Of how much more value is the Word of God than that? And yet we can learn all of those types of things that we put our minds to. And then there's another one that people come up with. Well, there's just too much to learn in the Bible. There's just too much. Really? How much effort goes into playing fantasy football? How much time is spent knowing all of the players, trying to pick the best ones so that on any given week you'll score more points than somebody else? That requires, it seems to me, a lot of work in order to be able to do something like that. And what about words of popular songs? I can know people that will walk around singing various songs all the time. Can't learn scripture, though? Seriously? You can learn all of that, and a lot of it is schlock. You can learn that, but you can't learn the words of eternal life. This seems like a not very good excuse to make, doesn't it? There's too much to learn, and yet people do all of that. How about the 206 bones in the human body? When you're in certain fields, you got to know all those things. 206? That's a lot. I'm wondering, that's a whole lot more than the 19 kings of the northern kingdom and the 19 kings of the southern kingdom. In fact, I'll take this to the 206 bones any day, won't you? or the 14 judges that exist, you know, those are not nearly as complicated as learning some of that stuff. How about the periodic table? Anybody take chemistry and have to learn what's on the periodic table? Whew. Did you know there's a song for that? They have put a song out for all 118 elements. That's frightening just to know there's a song for that. But there is. And people, I suppose, will learn that one way or the other. However, it does seem to me that when I had chemistry, there were only 107. I don't know what's been discovered here. But apparently there's a lot more elements than we thought. Now, you can learn that and you can't learn the 66 books of the Bible, some of which are firsts and seconds. That's a lot easier than knowing the periodic table. And what about mathematical formulas that you have to memorize, like minus b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4a square, 4a all over 2a, 4ac, sorry, 4ac over 2a. That's a handy formula if you're solving a problem for a math class. But how many formulas are there in physics? How many formulas are there for that relate to mathematics? How many postulates did you have to memorize? How many axioms and so on? You have to have all these things in order to do geometric proofs. I mean, we learn all of that kind of stuff, but the Bible's too complicated? Really? We can learn what we have an interest in learning. Bible classes are here for a reason, so that you can learn the Bible. Lessons are presented in worship assemblies for the same reason, the same rationale, so that you can learn more of the Word of God. So, why should we study the Bible? Because the Bible is the Word of God, because it contains all the truth, because the Bible answers every important question about life, because the Bible shows us how to please God, and because we shall be judged by these scriptures. How many times have you been studying for a test, and somebody says, I sure wish we had the test questions. It'd be nice to know what, is he going to ask this? Are we going to have to answer that? Are we going to have a long essay question? Oh, no. Here's the test right here. You've got it. You just need to study it and learn it, and you'll be prepared to give an answer. This morning, if you have never obeyed the gospel, and you know what that means, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We stand ready to assist you in doing that this morning. If you're already a child of God but have not been taking as seriously as maybe you should, knowing, studying, learning, understanding, and explaining to others the word that you have learned, then you have a chance in a new year to start out right and begin the way you ought to. If we can help you in either respect, come while we stand and while we sing.